This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome, everybody. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830 on this Sunday, March 2nd, 2025. I am Rob Gerisline. Thanks so much for tuning in to the program. I'll be here for the next hour. A couple good guests are going to be joining me. Shannon Fisher from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources will be with me in about 15 minutes. We'll talk about the new fishing regulations that are coming out, as well as a public input process regarding lake management plans for 151 lakes in the state. A little later, we will talk about ice fishing a little bit, how that went on the St. Croix. That is kind of wrapping up, but then mostly looking ahead to the open water season on the Mississippi River this spring. I'm an old river rat, and some of the best fishing of the year is on that continuous season on the Mississippi River. Walleye and sauger season does not close there, and those fish really stack up below the dams once the open water gets going. And it can be bumper boats at times, but if you want steady action, you really can't beat the Mississippi River in the spring. Down in my old haunts, Winona, on up to Red Wing. So we'll talk to Turk Gerke, a fishing guide out of Hudson, Wisconsin, about that a little bit. Speaking of ice, tomorrow is the deadline to remove your ice houses from lakes in the southern roughly two-thirds of the state. And then the northern third of the state, that'll kick in on Monday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So you can still ice fish, everybody. I want to stress that. There's still ice fishing going on. You just can't leave your shelters out overnight. You can still go out with a portable shack or even a wheelhouse if you can get out there and use it. You just got to take it with you at the end of the day. I joined Vanita Soccer here this past Wednesday. We talked about ice conditions. She was concerned that the season is over, and it might be coming to a close quickly given the heat that we had this past week. Not so much because the ice got marginal. There's still probably multiple feet of ice in a lot of our lakes. But, you know, we're going to be a little worried about some of the accesses and standing water on lakes. Now, we had a couple cold, you know, really cold nights here getting back down into the teens. It should firm things up. But, again, I'm showing close to 50 tomorrow and Tuesday, and then, you know, you get these overnight lows that are above freezing. That's when you get kind of this steady melt. You get some rain on top of that. That's possible this coming week. You can have a lot of ice in the middle of the lake, but if you can't get to it because the accesses are shot, well, the season is pretty much over. Now, again, I think that's more of a southern Minnesota phenomenon. We just don't have any snow adjacent to the lakes to help keep the shorelines cold. But farther north, there is more snow, and I think the season's going to continue deeper into March. And, of course, border waters like Lake of the Woods, I think, are going to have good fishing for many weeks. Of course, the walleye season opened there until mid-April, so there's still plenty of ice fishing going on. Yes, the inland waters walleye season is closed, but arguably some of the best pan fishing, perch fishing, crappie fishing of the year is in March. And perhaps some folks have seen the incredible photos coming out of Lake Mille Lacs, some huge jumbo, beyond jumbo perch I have seen coming out of Mille Lacs. You know, Leech Lake is always a great lake for big slab crappies, big bluegills in March. So there's good fishing to be had. Just be careful out there, especially getting onto and off the ice. Speaking of that big central Minnesota lake, the Mille Lacs Fisheries Advisory Committee met recently. And I'm cautiously optimistic based on the report that we had in Outdoor News this week that we're going to have a more liberalized walleye regulation for that water body this coming open water season. The fishing opener is on May 10th this year, and based on some of the DNR's projections, it sounds like the agency would entertain a multi-fish walleye bag limit of two, and I mean, I guess the advisory committee even voted to support a three-fish walleye limit on Mille Lacs when the open water season opens this year. Now, this is not locked up yet. At that meeting, they still didn't have a number for safe allowable harvest. They hadn't agreed to that, I guess, yet with the bands, the DNR, that is. But given the low harvest up there this winter, I guess in part because there's a lot of forage in the lake, I mentioned the perch thing, that's probably contributing to it. When there's a lot of forage, the fish don't bite as well, so anglers don't take as many. And that's obviously bad. You know, anglers want to keep fish, but if they don't take a lot and there's a lot of fish in the lake, well, then the DNR can say, well, this forage means the bite's not that good, so we can allow a more liberal limit. Last year, there was no walleye harvest allowed during the early part of the season, and the state came in well below its quota. Well, it sounds like the DNR's taking a little different stance this year, and I think that's good. Should be a good opener on Lake Mille Lacs, especially if we're talking about allowing at least a couple fish in the bag. Probably be a pretty tight slot, probably going to be an 18 to 20-inch slot, harvest slot, that is. But I'm guessing that lake's going to be booming with people if they can bring home some fillets this spring. Before we go to break, I mentioned last week that the snow goose season is already open. Not a lot of snow geese come through Minnesota, especially eastern Minnesota. We get a few in the western portion of the state. That's a conservation order, the spring conservation order, that's been around for 25 years, trying to help knock down that population of mid-continent lesser snow geese, I believe is what they are called. They mostly travel through the Dakotas at this latitude. And I was checking Ducks Unlimited's website, trying to call around Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge, their website. They typically have an update on their website on the status of migration. Now, I checked it late this past week, and it had not been updated. I don't know, maybe the federal employee who takes care of that got laid off. We don't know. Just saying, it's possible. But the Ducks Unlimited website showed that there are definitely some reports coming in Nebraska and a ton in Kansas. And as the snow line has disappeared, and I got to think we're getting some open water in South Dakota, I would think as I speak, it's possible that some snow geese are rolling into southern South Dakota. If not now, probably by the middle of this coming week, there's going to be some opportunity to hunt snow geese out in South Dakota. I'm just guessing. Don't lock me in on that. Make sure you check your sources before driving out there. But with this warming trend we've had the past 10 days, I think that migration has got to be advancing north quite quickly. That is a season that's very challenging, but it's got very liberal limits. So if you get into the birds, you can get a lot of goose meat very quickly. Some people don't like snow goose. I think it's fine. I think it's delicious. And it's fairly easy. I mean, just the old crock pot thing, I think it's delicious. I mean, my kids liked it too growing up. So if you've never done that, consider checking it out. It is a spectacle, if nothing else. They're hard to decoy. But when you see flock after flock of snow geese going over, it is absolutely breathtaking. The spring and fall migrations in North America they still amaze me, even in my advanced middle age. With that, we're going to break. We're going to switch gears, talk fishing when we return. This is WCCO Outdoors.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. Welcome back to the broadcast on this Sunday, March 2nd, March 2. Appreciate folks joining me here to chat outdoor topics for 60 minutes every week. Lots of fish talk here today. We're going to talk with someone from the Minnesota DNR in just a moment about what's cooking with fisheries regulations. But quick reminder on a hunting topic. Turkey hunting licenses went on sale yesterday, March 1st. Now, that's not as big a deal as it used to be, right? You used to have a limited number of permits for the different time periods and turkey permit areas. That's not the case anymore. You can buy all your licenses over the counter or online. It's pretty much unlimited, other than a couple of wildlife management areas, well, Whitewater and Carlos Avery, I believe, where you have to apply for the A season. But otherwise, it's a free-for-all out there these days. A lot of young folks out there who just buy their license over the counter now for a wild turkey don't know what us old guys had to go through for decades, where we'd have to apply and pick up a preference point to try and go and get a turkey during one of those early seasons. Now there's just so much opportunity for wild turkeys, not only in Minnesota, but in Wisconsin. I know guys that go to Iowa, to go to Missouri, go to South Dakota. An incredible recreational opportunity that did not exist in this part of the country, what, 30, 35 years ago, and now it's incredibly popular for hunters of all ages, men, women, kids. So go buy your turkey tag. I think the first season starts April 14th. No rush, but they are on sale. We've got the ice season kind of wrapping up. We're, gosh, more than 2 months away from the open water walleye opener. There's still some pan fishing opportunities out there and some border water fishing opportunities up on Lake of the Woods. So it's a time of year when we don't necessarily think as much about fishing, kind of a transition time. But nonetheless, there's a lot of kind of regulations protocol that occurs right now. And I thought someone who could help us wind through all that is Shannon Fisher. Shannon is the Fisheries Populations and Regulations Manager for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And he joins us now. Shannon, thanks for carving out some time.
Not a problem. I appreciate you having me on. The official fishing license year doesn't start on January 1st, does it? It actually begins on Saturday, March 1st, which is already in the rearview mirror. So if you went out fishing without getting a new license, you're illegal. I think most people know that, but they need to get a new fishing license effective Saturday, March 1st, right?
That's correct. Yep.
The other thing that kicks in with that date is we get, any new changes in terms of fisheries limits or regulations, lots of time will kick in with that new date. For starters, folks can find all that information in the fisheries regulations booklet, and that just came out too?
Yes, it should have just recently been distributed to all of our license selling agents across the state.
Yeah, that's a very helpful little booklet. Everybody should have a copy of that on them when they go fishing. Of course, you can download it too onto your phone or whatever, but I know I access it and review it frequently. Along with the fishing license you're kicking off, the state has some newly established limits for several species. These are mostly what some folks might consider rough fish. What was some of the philosophy behind that, Shannon?
Well, some of the species used to be considered rough fish, but back in 2019, we changed them to game fish, and as a result, we wanted to make sure we had a bag limit and a season established. Now, in most of these cases, the season is still continuous, but we wanted to get a bag limit established.
So it sounds like the species are American eel, yellow bass, whitefish, cisco, and burbot. It's also known as an eel pout. Folks can look at page 13 of the regulations booklet and see all the specifics. I don't think too many people are going to be eating American eel, but it's good that they release those back into the water, huh?
Well, they're pretty rare in the state. Obviously, they're traveling a long ways up the Mississippi River to get here, and the perception was that they should have some protection.
Yeah, they're an amazing fish, actually. There are only, catadromous fish, where they spawn in salt water but then live their life in fresh water. They spawn way out, by Bermuda or something like that.
Yeah, they do.
Yep. So that's a pretty amazing fish. Let's do what we can to preserve them when they're making such a long swim all the way up to Minnesota. A lot of the other new regulations, there's several for, some St. Croix River downstream from Taylor's Falls. I don't know if you can speak to those, but if folks want information on page 74, is that multiple species to kind of bring us into line with Wisconsin?
It brings us in line with what Wisconsin implemented last year. And what we're trying to do there is make more of the regulations along the border waters between Minnesota and Wisconsin more consistent. So there's fewer changes from one area to another. And this helps us achieve that.
And then in addition, there's a bunch of new and modified regulations for 14 other waters. They're located in multiple counties, Chippewa, Cook, Lake, Lac La Parle, Olmsted, Ottertail, Stearns, and Todd. I know that's a diverse range of counties there, Shannon, but can you speak generally what's going on with some of those regs, or are they for multiple species and multiple kind of water bodies?
Well, it depends on the situation, but what we do is we try to manage individual waters for what's best for that particular water body. And so sometimes we have to implement a special or experimental regulation to make that fishery the best that it can be. And so that's what those special and experimental regs are about.
So again, the new fishing regulations are out there, available on the DNR website now, and the print version also at your bait dealer or wherever you buy your fishing license. You should be able to get a copy of those regs and break down what Shannon's talking about here in a little more detail. You're listening to WCCO Outdoors. Rob Gerisline here chatting with Shannon Fisher from Minnesota DNR Fisheries. And the bigger thing going on here during the month of March is that the agency is taking public input on new fisheries management plans for over 150 lakes. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Sure. We collect data on lakes and we try to analyze that information. But part of the process of rewriting or updating lake management plans is hearing from the public or the users. And so we want to make sure we have an opportunity for people to provide comment, to let us know kind of what their thoughts are about these various lakes, and let us know how they think these lakes should be managed.
So, Shannon, it looks like you got 151 lakes across 40 counties where you're taking public comment. What kind of comments would you expect people to ask? What kind of questions would you like them to ask the agency about how to, go about managing these lakes better for our fish populations?
Well, I think one of the things we really like to know about is what their preferred uses are. Are they wanting to target certain species? Are they wanting to target certain sizes. You know, we definitely have some portions of the angling public that are looking for numbers. They want to be able to catch lots of fish. We've got some that are definitely more of a targeted trophy angler group. And so giving us some information about how they think the fisheries should be managed in terms of what they want to target is very helpful.
It looks like what the public comment period goes to the end of the month, March 31st. How can folks go about making their comments?
I think the biggest thing is to reach out to your area fishery supervisor. In the online page for the comment section, you can find the area telephone number or the email address. And by reaching out to your area supervisor for the lake that you're interested in, that's going to be the best way to get the comments included.
And it looks like this is all on the DNR website also. Looks like the quickest way to get there would be to go to mndnr.gov and then click news. And it's a February 20th press release, public input needed on fisheries management plans for 151 Minnesota lakes. Just go to that press release. You can see the whole list of lakes. You can see a link, DNR's lake management planning page. Click through that, and there's a whole process. Looks like a form. Looks like a very easy for folks to make their comments known. What happens after the public comment process period is wrapped up, Shannon?
The area staff will take the public comments as well as the data that they've collected, and they will work that into a lake management plan. In most cases, we already have a management plan, but they'll update the plan, see if there's any changes that are needed, and then they'll republish that that plan, and they can usually find that through, say, Lake Finder, for example.
Good. Well, I encourage folks, again, go to mndnr.gov, go to news and click through. You'll see the February 20th press release if folks want to chime in. Everybody listening out there probably has a lake on this list that they're familiar with. And democracy in action, make your voice heard. Shannon, before we let you go, you were the guy kind of in charge of revamping the record fish program. What is that about a year ago in the rearview mirror, or is it more than that?
A little more than that, but we've had our first full field season now with the changes in place, and we've had a few new submissions, and so far people have been responding to it pretty well.
Remind folks what happened there. We created, are there three categories now for record fish in Minnesota?
Well, what we did was we took some of those older historic records that were not part of a certified weight program. And we listed those separately as historic records. And then we opened some of those back up for certified weight records. And then we also expanded our catch and release options to a number of other species.
So in the first year, did we establish new, quote unquote, certified records for all species? Or are there still a few that are open?
We did not. We still have some that are open. We did get a few of them filled, but not as many as we were anticipating. We did set kind of a minimum expectation,
so
you have to have at least a fish of a certain size in order to even apply. And so what we'll do is we'll take a look at those minimums this upcoming year, and if they still are not filled, we may make some adjustments.
Are there any out there that strike you as noticeably empty? It did, for example, did we set a new walleye record?
We did not.
Okay.
That is one that is, kind of there for the taking. So.
Yeah, that kind of stood out to me. I was thinking as we were chatting, I was like, I don't think we got a new walleye record just yet. So that's a big one. If folks are listening and they go catch a big walleye, there's an opportunity to have yourself a state record. And is the catch and release category pretty popular?
It is. People seem very excited about it. But there again, maybe we set our expectations a little too high on some of those species. We have not filled a number of these rough fish species that we thought maybe we would fill. And so we'll have to take another look at that.
Again, if folks want to, if they catch a big fish and they want to find out if it's eligible, how do they go about registering?
They can go to the Minnesota DNR website and just do a search for record fish program, and there is a application process on there for either a certified weight or a catch and release option.
Again, mndnr.gov, search record fish, that pops up. The state record fish program page pops right up. And again, as we were discussing, there's certified weight, catch and release, and non-certified weight. Three categories, very easy to get registered. Well, Shannon, thanks for carving out some time with me. I want to encourage folks to chime in on this public input process for these fisheries management plans around the state. We got 151 of them. Catch a record fish this coming, well, with what's left of the ice season, and of course, looking ahead to open water. Thanks for joining me, Shannon.
Thank you.
Shannon Fisher, Fish Population and Regulations Manager for the Minnesota DNR out of St. Paul. With that, we're going to grab a break. More of the broadcast after these messages. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830, Sunday, March 2nd. Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. More fishing chatter coming up here. We're going to talk to my friend Turk Gerke, fishing guide on the St. Croix River, as well as the Mississippi, downstream from the confluence of the St. Croix. Warmer temperatures have got anglers on the river thinking about fish stacking up below the dams, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Warmer temperatures has also got folks thinking about something in the woods this time of year, and that's maple sap flowing. I've got a maple tree in my yard, parked my van underneath it, and saw some sap dripping on it earlier this week. I suspect maple sap flowing all over the state probably really got rolling. I mean, it has to, right, when it's in the 40s and you get below freezing at night. Heck, we even had some nights where it wasn't below freezing. If that's something you haven't done before, give it a try. It's amazingly easy to do, even with trees in your yard. I used to tap a couple big silvers in my yard at my old house. If you want to learn more about it, though, I see the Minnesota DNR has got a bunch of maple syrup programs going on at a bunch of state parks. I think Fort Snelling even held one today, but there's going to be others at Fort Snelling, as well as Lake Bemidji State Park, Whitewater State Park. And those are always fun to get out, kind of a rite of early spring. I always like to think of it as a rite of early spring, not late winter. For more details, go to mndnr.gov. There was a February 24th press release from the DNR about that. Check it out and get the kids out. Go taste some maple sap. So yes, maple syrup season means that we are into March. And something that kind of comes and goes fairly quickly this time of year that I think we sometimes forget to even talk about is the remarkable bite that occurs on the Mississippi River, specifically walleyes, below some of the dams. And I've got an old friend who's going to join us right now to talk about that a little bit. His name is Charles Turk Gerke. He's from Croissippi Fishing Guide Service. He's out of Hudson, Wisconsin. He's wrapping up kind of the ice season on the St. Croix. And thinking about that Mississippi River below the confluence of those two rivers. Turk, it's good to see you. Thanks for carving out some time for me.
Thanks, Rob. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, first, let's recap the hard water season. It's been, it had been remarkably cold. We built a lot of ice on our lakes, on our rivers. But this warming trend can change things quickly, can't it? There's a lot of standing water out there already, and maybe even a little worried about some of the accesses. Is that on your radar in coming days and weeks?
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's really interesting. This has been an incredible ice fishing season on the St. Croix, especially in the Bayport area, because the sturgeon fishing has been really what everybody wants to do. And last weekend, there was about 100 wheelhouses on a Saturday and Sunday on the river. And I drove by Tuesday just to check it out. Everybody was gone. So I think everybody was afraid of somehow getting, you know, not being able to get off the ice.
Yeah, it definitely warmed up quickly. I know on a lot of area ponds, I was seeing standing water already early this past week. Now, we're going to get some more cold weather. There's a lot of ice fishing left to go, especially if you go farther north on border country, Lake of the Woods, places like that. Turk, the sturgeon fishing, we should talk about that quickly. That's really come on. That's something that didn't exist, regarding the volume of people pursuing that species, just a few years ago. And now it's extremely popular, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think what has happened is, and I don't know this, but I bet you there's a lot of popular sturgeon YouTube channels. And sturgeon fishing is incredibly easy in terms of its bottom fishing and your ice fishing. When you catch, a large fish, it's very enjoyable, and people see how it's being done through a video, and they say, I can do that.
Turk, back to walleyes. How was the walleye fishing on the St. Croix this year in important border water? That season closed Saturday, March 1st. How did it go up until the closure?
Well, I got to tell you, I wish I was catching bigger walleyes. I can catch a lot of walleyes, but I run into that they're short. Thank goodness for the sauger, though. Because the sauger does count against your limit, but the size isn't, there's no size minimum for walleye, it's 15 inches on the St. Croix minimum. You know, so if you're catching 14-inch saugers, I'm telling you, for me, that's an eater. So thank goodness for the saugers.
You're listening to WCCO Outdoors. Rob Gerisline here chatting with Turk Gerke from the Croisippi Fishing Guide Service. He's based out of Hudson, Wisconsin, kind of recapping how the hard water season went on the St. Croix border water. Let's look ahead to the fact that we're going to have some open water probably coming pretty soon here in March. And the Mississippi River below the dams is quite a phenomenon, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's going on natural history-wise. Why do those fish stack up like that?
Essentially, they stack up because they're going to spawn. And the dams impede the spawn, and they'll stop naturally below where the dams are and where the areas are suitable. They will go up creeks. They'll go up the Vermilion River and spawn. They'll go up the Cannon River and spawn. They'll go up a river called the Trimbell. So you have that dam that impedes it. Then you have what's called the walleye factory called Lake Pepin. Mm-hmm. And so what will happen is a lot of those fish will migrate to the head of the lake and wait. And then at a certain time, then they'll come up and make their run upriver, which is about 7 miles. And that's in about the first week of April. But what happens this time of year is you do have resident fish that kind of just stay in the area. And so there is always a population to fish, which has been proven year after year, especially last year when our winter was not a winter and people were catching fish below the dam in January, in December and February. And so throughout the years, there's been times that even in January, you can go down there when it's going to be 35, 40 degrees. And sometimes it happens when you can launch your boat down there and there are resident fish there. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is I don't want to make it sound like they all move in mass, like a herd of caribou, and they all show up at once where it's 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. And that really isn't the case. You know, a lot of areas always have resident fish. But then you have a seasonal migration that really bolsters the numbers. And people kind of call that the run. When is the run? Are they on the run? So that's kind of what I'm getting at. So Lake Pepin, they'll gather at the head of the lake and then they'll make their run. And, you know, it's a generalization, but there's a lot of truth to it as well.
Turk, there's a lot of folks who take advantage of this. I've done it many times. I grew up down there. Always see a lot of folks from Iowa. There's a kind of a standing joke that it's bumper boats. It can get a little crowded. Safety is important. And then in terms of technique, everybody just kind of uses a jig and minnow and keeps it vertical.
Right now, yes. Right now, yes. But at night, then they'll drag and cast. But in the day, yes, okay. Because our water is clear right now. When we get some color to the water, now people will start to cast and the fish will come shallower. But you're right. Yes, right now, jig and a minnow, vertical, or you would use maybe even like a little power bait, 2.5 inch, or a little tiny, like a mini fluke, things like that. Twitch tail minnows. So you can use some plastics, but a jig, yeah, okay. Vertical. And there's times that we'll say, you know, if you're not vertical, you're not getting bit.
In terms of action, it's about as much fishing action as I think you're going to experience in Minnesota, I dare say. I mean, the times I've done it, it is absolutely steady. Now, there are tons and tons of small ones, right? You're pulling a lot of small ones off the hook. But you right. can catch some keeper fish, some keeper fillets. And if you want action, it's the place to be.
There's no doubt about it. When it's on, it's on. One of the things with March is very interesting. So there's like a spell. You show up and you get rewarded. And then all of a sudden, Mother Nature kicks in and we get a cold front. And then you go out the next day and you're not picking up on this and the bite just changes. And a lot of times what can happen too to make it worse is when the water gets dirty and the cold front shows up, it's really tough. Okay. So, I mean, it's fishing, of course. But yes, when it's on, it's so much fun. And that's why there's so many people that go there. And the saugers, you can catch walleye and sauger down there.
And you and I were talking a little bit off air. I wrote a story a year or so ago about the perch phenomenon on the Mississippi River, downriver from you. You were telling me again off air, you haven't been able to take advantage of that so much on the Croix. They're not that far up. But folks who are fishing, you know, Red Wing on down, that perch fishery has really blossomed, hasn't it?
I wish I could say I'm a master of it and I've cracked that code. I really haven't spent a lot of time with it. But I think in the backwaters, anytime you can get to the backwaters, to the sloughs, and then pool 5 on south, yeah, I think that's where they're getting them really well. Okay.
I also heard Mille Lacs is producing some huge perch also, but let's stick to the river. I just want to throw that out there as a quick aside. Turk, while I've got you, this forward-facing sonar phenomenon has been, I guess, somewhat controversial, been a lot of talk about it. Has it been a big part of your fishing strategy? It would seem to me it's not necessarily something you'd use fishing below a dam for walleyes, because there's just such a volume of fish down there. It would seem like it would almost be chaos when you were trying to use that kind of technology. But maybe people smarter than me do.
I would have to say bingo, Rob. When you're in a body of water where you have suckers, you have white bass, you have sheephead, you have drum, you have catfish, you have walleye, you have smallmouth, you have shad. And by the way, shad overwinter, and they can get up to 12 inches. Okay. Wow. So when you have all of this, it's going to add to confusion. Now, I don't use forward-facing sonar. That's probably why. I used it once with a friend, actually. My friend, we went up to Schwamigan Bay, and there were so little fish there. But when we scoped those fish out, first time I ever used it, he said, cast there. Three casts, I got a 27-inch walleye on a jigging wrap. Wow. He said, cast at 60 feet. He said, point. He goes, cast at 60 feet. And it was amazing. It literally blew my mind. But that's because that worked so well, because there weren't that many fish around. Sure. And
yeah.
So in certain situations, I can see how it would be addictive. And once you get a taste of that, I don't know how you could go away from it.
Well, Turk, again, your focus tends to be on the St. Croix. You head down to the Mississippi River once that season ends on the St. Croix for walleyes, which it did on Saturday, March 1st. So you're going to spend a little time downriver in coming weeks. But then after the fishing opener, you'll be back on the Croix. Good outlook for the summer?
You know, it is. I'll tell you why. Because every single year we have a good year class of fish. The St. Croix is not known for trophies. They're in there seasonally. We get them in the spring and the fall, and you'll bump into them every now and then, but generally it's a eater fishery. We're getting 16, 17, 18, 19 inch walleyes. But yes, I look forward to the St. Croix every year, because every year it's a natural reproduction. The river takes care of itself. We always have good year classes, and we're always catching fish. In terms of seasonally, yeah, May is better than August. You have these bites, you know, you have peaks and flows with when the bite is on and off. Seasonally, you know, I'm going to catch a lot more fish day in, day out in May than I am going to be in the middle of July.
Sure.
But even in July, you know, then there's other things to go for, like white bass, crappie, you know, and they just add to you. And we have big sunfish there now too. It's quite a fishery, you know, and the fact that there's so many fish in the river really helps you as an angler, because you're catching more. Because there's more to catch from.
Well, and it's nice and close to the Twin Cities. So I would encourage folks to contact Kirk. Go to his website. It's croissippi.com. I presume you're also on the social media platforms, Turk, croissippi.com. Thanks a lot for carving out some time with us. Good luck playing bumper boats here on the Mississippi River in coming weeks, and on the St. Croix as the spring and summer unfolds.
Thanks for having me, Rob. This was fun.
Thanks. That was our old friend Turk Gerke. Again, check out his website, croissippi.com. Let's break. More of the broadcast after these messages. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830, final segment of this week's broadcast on this Sunday, March 2nd. Thank you to my guests, Shannon Fisher from the DNR and Turk Gerke from Croissippi Guide Service. A few minutes left here before we wrap up this week's broadcast. Some legislation that I thought I would flesh out with listeners here for a moment before we go. We've got House File 276 and House File 411. These were heard in the House Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee recently. Authored by a couple Republicans, Representative Jim Nash, Republican from Waconia, and Representative Mary Franson from Alexandria. And I guess the committee forwarded the two bills. I don't think it was unanimous. So they're not law yet by any means. They have to probably pass other committees and, of course, the full legislature, and then the governor has to sign it. But here's what they would do. Franson's bill would exempt people 65 and older from the fishing license requirement. Okay, so what that means, if you're 65 and older in Minnesota and this bill passes and becomes law, you wouldn't have to buy a fishing license anymore. Nash's bill is a little less aggressive. It would decrease the cost of a fishing license from $25 to $15, again, for people age 65 and older. And I guess the sentiment behind the bill is that older folks have been working hard all their lives, give them a break on a fishing license when they're over age 65. The DNR told Outdoor News that they appreciate that sentiment, but there's real dollars at stake here. A lot of older folks have time on their hands, and they go fishing, so therefore they buy licenses. Natalie Ryder at Outdoor News quoted Mary Franson, again one of the bill's authors, as saying, as legislators, quote, "We are there to advocate for the needs of our constituents, no matter how expensive they may be sometimes." Well, I'm sure that quote plays well with constituents in her district, but I would like to think legislators understand we have a responsibility to pay the bills, too. The financial impact of this bill is $4 million to the Game and Fish Fund. You see, license dollars are earmarked specifically to the Game and Fish Fund. They don't go to the general fund and pay for roads and that sort of thing. They're dedicated to paying for fish stocking and DNR employees who stock those fish and conduct lake surveys and, in general, just try to improve fishing for all Minnesotans. In addition to that $4 million, there's another $1 million that the state gets back from federal excise taxes based on the number of licenses we sell. If these licenses are off the books, we don't get that excise tax money from the feds, even though presumably these folks are still going to be fishing. Again, so that's to the tune of another $1 million. So $5 million impact to the state game and fish fund here. So as I am wont to do, I'm not afraid to offer my opinion on topics, and I think it's probably pretty clear where I'm coming from on this. I think this is a bad idea. I think you could probably make the case, if you wanted to, for almost any demographic to be exempt from buying a fishing license. You know, 20-something adult-onset hunters, 30-somethings who are raising and mentoring kids and are financially strapped. I mean, you could go all day with that. I think the system we have is just fine, and we don't need to pass this bill. It would just have too big of an impact on fisheries management in the state. Well, maybe you disagree. If so, contact your legislator. Let them know how you feel. With that, I'm out of time. Everybody have a great week out of doors. Rob Dreisein signing off for WCCO Outdoors.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.